on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Did you guess it? Did you guess the sport? It was invented in 1925 on a cruise ship called the SS Finland on its way to the Panama Canal. And it's not shuffleboard, and it's not Pinocchio, but it is, Andrew Mill. Could you clarify what this sport was?
Well, it's in fact contract bridge.
Contract bridge. Now, hang on. I did say sport. Can we clarify, firstly, sport versus game?
Contract bridge is a sport now. It wasn't. It was recognised for as a sport along with chess for Olympic purposes some 10 or 15 years ago. Neither have yet made it to the Olympic stage, but we have hopes.
Because I'm looking at the definition of sport by the dictionary, and obviously that's all I've got to go by. The idea that it's a physical activity with an agreed set of rules with competition. I'm also thinking, gee, that's Jenga and that's Monopoly. But we were talking about TV, lots of great text still coming in about TV. Better Call Saul, Utopia, and BBC version House of Cards. While that song was playing, you said you've got a couple of TV tips as well.
Oh, absolutely. I want to see some of the Rin Tin Tin, McHale's Navy, Get Smart, Callan the Persuaders, The Avengers, The Saint. I want to see all the TV.
Can I throw in Lost in Space in there?
Yeah, Lost in Space is fine. I'm happy to accept that. And Doctor Who, of course, would rank in there as well. But
Andrew, you are, in fact, I came across your prestigious and prodigious career in a piece that was written by Catherine Harris for Verity La, which is a journal called The Biker King of Contract Bridge. Now, that title alone drew me in. You are a motorcycle riding, rolly smoking champion of bridge. You have got a champion family around you. You've got two professional or highly ranked sons. Your wife is the coach of the Australian youth team. You have been a professional since you were 22 in bridge, contract bridge. Did you have any other choice in life? Betty and Liz were champion bridge players. Was it always the path set?
My parents, in fact, I taught them to play bridge. They didn't play bridge until I did.
Is it really?
But no, because I think when I was in my teens and late teens, I thought I would play sport till I was 70. I lived in a tracksuit and loved all games. At uni, I discovered I was doing a B.Ed in phys ed at the time. But the bridge game was at Melbourne Uni and the B.Ed was at Rusden State College, which doesn't exist anymore, out in Burwood. And the bridge game won. So I learned bridge at uni and it became pretty self-evident after a while that that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. So luckily I found a niche in there and that's what I've done for the last 40-odd years.
If you have a question about this most addictive, enigmatic game, that is contract bridge or bridge in general, then here is your opportunity to ask the Jedi Master, the Zen, the guru of the cards, of the auction and the double and redouble. Give us a ring. Chat to Andrew. Put him on the spot. He not only is a champion player, he's a champion teacher and has been a professional teacher and player for the best part of 40 years. 1-300-222-774 or text if you've got a question for Andrew on 0437-774-774. My question for you, Andrew, while I've got the monopoly, no pun intended, is you talk about in one of the, in fact in this article by Catherine, was the secret to being a champion player is to lean into your discomfort. I found that phrase really interesting. Could you tell me a little bit about what you meant by that?
Well, I think it's what I meant by it was normally if you're good at something, but you're a dilettante at it, you might be very talented, but it's a hobby. What you do is you go out and practice all the things you're good at, and you become better and better and better at the things you're good at. However, if you want to be elite in any activity, whether it be tennis or golf or bridge, you must spend almost no time on what you're good at because that's okay already. You have to spend all the time on the bits that you're absolutely hopeless at. And that's not as fun, not as much fun, because you're not good at them. It's hard work when you have to practice something you're no good at. And so the difference between a bridge player who becomes exceptionally good at one area of the game and what I would see as the other top bridge players around is that the top bridge players spend more time practicing what they're no good at than...
What were your foibles as a younger player?
Oh, goodness, too many. Too many to list. I had to overcome laziness as a main problem. But in bridge, I found lack of concentration to be an issue. I also found situations relatively easy to see, like chess players would, but that would in turn lead me into making mistakes, which a quick check on the logic of the hand would dictate that I was doing something completely stupid. But because I saw the hand in a particular way, I'd go ahead, ignore something that told me that I was doing something wrong and just barrel on full steam ahead. So I had to learn to temper my instincts quite a lot. Everyone brings to bridge their own skill set. If you have a maths background, then you're a mathematical bridge player. If you've got an English background, you're very good at the dialogue and interpretation. You could come from a natural sciences background where you interpret opponents' gestures and things like that. And everyone approaches the game from a different perspective. And there's no right way to do it. So a mathematician will get beaten by any of the other players who have just a minor appreciation of maths.
Are you a fine study of the human animal? Are you coming from the perspective of examining people?
Well, in order to become a better bridge teacher and player, I think studying the human animal is hugely important. My reading used to be exclusively bridge books. I read almost no bridge books now. I'm just halfway through Stephen Fry's Mythos, but books like Homo Deus and there's a fantastic book on ability called Talent is Overrated. I don't know if you've read it.
No, I haven't read it.
Sensationally good book, which looks at groups of people throughout who have supposedly an innate talent like Tiger Woods or Mozart. And the premise of the author is that whilst innate talent may exist, there is no evidence of it. And he presents counter arguments for all that. So it's the 10,000 hours practice. And not just 10,000 hours practice, it's 10,000 hours directed practice with getting good feedback from someone who knows what they're doing.
Good feedback, and not to see your appetite diminish, I'd imagine, because you also need to have an affinity or a rapport for that pursuit.
That comes with the feedback.
Yes.
If you practice something really hard and you get the feedback, then you're lauded for that. That gives you the motivation to keep on going. The example would be Australian sporting teams. Such a huge proportion of people come from small country towns. That's counterintuitive when you're looking at things like cricket or football, where you would think that having access to the best training units would be more important. But in practice, being a prodigy supposedly at 9 years old playing with the 15-year-olds and getting all that praise makes you practice harder. It makes you feel like you're unbeatable. So now when you go down to the Big Smoke and you get into the talent program, everyone else is just as talented as you, but you already know you're better than them because you've had all that feedback from the whole town.
And you've also been leaning into your discomforts and assessing your foibles, getting good feedback. I like your theory. I can see why you're a good teacher as well. In fact, someone has asked where the best places to learn to play bridge. If you're coming from a relatively inexperienced background, where would be some good places to learn
bridge? The starting place if you want to learn bridge, I guess, there are lots of... If you're a member of a golf club or a tennis club, then your club may well have bridge groups running already. But there's the Victorian Bridge Association will be able to direct you to teachers in your area or clubs in your area. There are 36 bridge clubs in metropolitan Melbourne. You don't hear about the game unless you know someone who plays it. But We're hiding all over the place, just waiting to jump out at you.
The mushrooms.
And, I mean, most people would use a bridge book to fall asleep by. To actually want someone to come on and talk about bridge on the radio, I suggested to some friends this afternoon that you were practicing because your next guest was going to be someone from, some boring profession.
Not at all. No, we've got lawyers coming in after you.
Well, that's right. It wasn't lawyers. It was the numbers people. I thought you might have.
No, don't be like that. I've got to ask you this, though. The idea that to be a fine bridge player, of course, it's all about your partner. This is not a solo game. It's a duo. Have you been playing with the same partner for almost as many years as you've been a pro?
No, because as a professional, my job is to play with people who employ me to play with them. So I go through a number of different clients.
So you're a bridge playing gigolo.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what I am. And I have my son, one of my sons has chosen that profession as well. My wife did the same thing, so...
So a partner for hire, and it's about, bringing out the best in that client?
Yeah. There are two paths for a bridge player. You can spend all your life earning lots of money and working well and at whatever profession you do, and then regret that you hadn't been playing cards since you were 20. At which stage you have funds to employ a bridge player, or you can play cards from the age that you were 7 or 8 or 9, at which stage you wind up with no money but an ability that other people would like to have. So they employ you to play with them. Not just in terms of getting better results, but it's no different than you wanting to employ your golf pro to have a round of golf with you, because when they see you do it under fire, they can give you pointers in real time rather than hypothetical situations. And their interest, or my client's interests, are to fast-track their own development to become better bridge players.
To know their skills.
I had one customer years ago who wanted to become a grandmaster because he was told by his local bridge club that he never would. And he said, well, I'm going to show you. So he sought out me and said, I want to employ you to get me to be a grandmaster. But apart from that person, everyone else is just there to improve their own game.
So does that to say, because you've been partner hopping and augmenting the skills of your clients, that you don't have a nemesis when it comes to the bridge tournaments? Or is there a nemesis in the playing life of Andrew Mill?
No one nemesis. There are many people who you recognise as being very good players, mm-hmm. and you know when you come up to meet them that they could give you a hiding just as easily as you might give them one. And when you're playing with a client against maybe two professionals playing against you, you know your hopes of winning are fairly slim, but not zero. So you're still going for that. And of course, if you do manage to beat them, you get the bragging rights. And when you lose to them, you get into the bar afterwards and say, well, of course you beat me, because you know you're both professionals and so in fact, it's a no-lose situation.
Before I let you go, Andrew, so I'd love to chat more about bridge, but all these maxims and platitudes floating around, some of them I'm only trying to work out, such as second-hand low, 8 ever, 9 never. What is the one piece of advice that for anybody, whatever their level, that really should keep in mind when it comes to being the best bridge player that can be?
Don't follow any of the rules. Most rules are designed to stop you thinking, and bridge is a game that rewards thinking.
I could tell you are a fine teacher, and I would hate to play you in East and West if I was North or South. But as a partner, let's talk. Andrew Mill, thank you so much for dropping by on your chopped up Peterson motorcycle. It's been a delight to meet you, and you are everything that article promised. The Biker King of Contract Bridge, one of the finest players and longest serving players and teachers of bridge. His name is Andrew Mill, and if you are interested, get in touch with the Victorian Bridge Association to learn more about the game. That's 9530-9006. Thanks a lot for dropping by, Andrew.
Thank you very much, David.
Coming up after the news, whoops, there goes the headphone, we are talking about when do you get a lawyer? Why should you get a lawyer? And